It's a privilege really for me as a pastor from time to time to offer the pulpit. We pulled the pulpit this morning because he's a roamer. He's going to roam around here. I kind of have to hang on to something when I preach. Actually, I want something so that you can't see my knees are shaking behind the podium. It's a privilege to pass the mic and the ministry this morning of the word to Robert Rogers. Just an outstanding brother in the faith who the Lord has used significantly. And I've asked him to introduce himself and to tell us more about what God has done as a result of all that he's been through. I'm sure that you'll be pleased to know and praise God for good things that he's doing in and through him across the earth, around the world today. As I mentioned afterwards, there are materials available out on the table. We will tape this session. It'll be online as of tomorrow morning, this message. You have a friend or family member who was not able to be here this morning. Just encourage them to go over to our website and click on messages, and you should be able to hear the message this morning. Robert, God bless you this morning. Thank you so much for being with you. I'm going to pass you the mic, and we'll look forward to all that God has for us from you. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you for the honor of allowing me to come and to serve. Thank you for entrusting this pulpit to me, and I pray that I honor God through all that is shared. Anything good that will come forth today will come forth from him. I'm merely just the mouthpiece and the instrument. I want to be transparent for you to see right through me to this beautiful cross behind me. So thank you for allowing me to come. And the main reason I'm here is not for you to see me or to hear me. I want to point you up for you to know God more, to fall in love with him, to be passionate about him, to have intimacy with him. You must worship no other gods, but only the Lord. For he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that humbling? God is passionate for you. His heart beats for you. Are you passionate for him? Do you think of him first thing in the morning? Like the psalmist says, "Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in his parched and weary land." Do you love him that much? I hope that by the end of the service this morning, you'll be that much closer and that what I share will help to draw your heart toward him ever more deeply. Because knowing God, I believe, is the beginning of living a life of no regrets. Could we all say no regrets together, please? No regrets. Yeah, please, begins with God, but extends to everyone else. That's why I put this horizontally. It extends to that person sitting next to you right now. Perhaps your spouse, your parents, your family, your children, your loved ones. Maybe even that person who's still mad at you just because last Christmas you looked at them funny for not eating your fruitcake or whatever it might be. We all hold grudges over silly things, don't we? Amen. Well, let it go. Whatever it is, find a way to work it out. But maybe you've been deeply wounded. It's not so easy just to let it go. Well, that's why I make the cross out of these words. And for me, it's where I start every morning. Literally, I get on my knees at the foot of the cross because I need to. I can't help it. I say, Lord, I need your grace and your strength to live this life of no regrets, to forgive one another, to let go of those grudges, to love each other as you have loved us. Help me, Lord. And so very simply, that's where we invite each of you today, is to the cross of Jesus Christ, to lay down your questions, your regrets, whatever it might be, your hurts, your grudges, and begin today anew, to let him do a work within you. Only God's word today can change your life, not my words. And so I rely heavily on Scripture. That's what I want to share with you mostly today. Have you felt like this from the book of Lamentations? The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Have you been there? Maybe some of you are there right now. As Pastor mentioned, the man who just passed away within the past few hours, right? And Margie at, what was it, age 97? What a beautiful life, no doubt, of no regrets. And our hearts are no doubt half rejoicing, yet half broken. Because we miss our loved ones. You can't attach words to those moments in life. But what do you do? Lord, what are we supposed to do? Well, thank God for his word. He gives us the answers, right? Yet I still dare to hope. I still dare to hope. And that's counterintuitive, isn't it? That's countercultural. When everyone says, give it up, turn your back on your faith, turn your back on God. How could he let this happen to you? No God who loves you could let this terrible thing happen. And yet there is hope. Don't ever doubt God's love for you, no matter how bad life gets. Oftentimes we ask, Lord, why me? Why me? Well, why not me? Maybe God trusts you so much that through your pain, your suffering, he wants to bring such a testimony that the world may know just by your example, by your response. And so I hope my story in some way helps bring this home ever more deeply. And I come from a large family, much like Pastor Jim's family. I came from a family of 8 children, and so I met his youngest, and I'm the youngest as well. I'm the caboose, as he called it. And I love big families. It's my dream to have so many kids and grandkids we can barely squeeze into the picture. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this picture was taken when my parents celebrated 60 years of marriage. Thanks be to God. Some short time before this picture was taken, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. They said, well, get your life in order. You might have just a few months to live. Talk about just having the rug pulled out from under you. Dad has cancer. What? Yet there is hope. By the grace of God and the power of prayer, would you believe he went on to live over 39 months, 3.5 years? And so we learned so much from my father's great example, from his attitude. We miss him dearly. But my mother's still alive. She's 82 years old and feisty as all get out and healthy, thanks be to God. But growing up together, all 10 of us would fill up a whole pew going to church. I called God Lord many, many times, but I hadn't yet made him Lord. And there's a big difference. It's one thing just to name him. It's another thing to know him. It's one thing to call him Lord, another thing to make him Lord. And as a teenager, I started asking all these questions. God, are you there? Are you real? What does all this mean? And it brought me on a journey that brought me ultimately to my knees and a point of complete surrender with reckless abandonment. I said, Lord, I think I finally get it. You want my heart. You want all of me, Lord. I want all of you. Come into my heart. I give you my life. And it changed my life completely. In fact, I fell in love. I fell in love with Jesus. I began to know him. I began to desire him. I fell in love with his word. I got my first Bible, and I started reading it every single day. And I encourage you, read this book every single day. Don't just try. Did you try to eat yesterday? Hopefully you fed your body, but don't feed your body and starve your soul. In fact, as a wise man challenged me, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Can we try that one together, please? No Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Yeah, what does that mean? Well, when you wake up in the morning, where's the first place you run? Okay, where's the second place you run? Be honest. Do you run to the iPhone or do you run to thy throne? Do you run to the TV or do you run to the Almighty? Do you run to the world or do you run to the Word? Do you run to Facebook or do you run to the good book? Run to him first. Give him the best part of your day. Seek him first. And then at the end of the day, open the sacred scriptures again. If you have family in your house, perhaps read with them, but maybe dust off that Bible on the end table. Because Jesus' words are spirit and life. They will bring life to your marriage, to your family. Embrace your day with the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is scriptural. Very first chapter of Joshua, right? Meditate on it day and night. The very first psalm, study it day and night. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no bed. You'll never regret it. And so I grew up there in Cincinnati. I studied piano as a youngster at the Conservatory of Music. I went on to study here in Indiana, down in Anderson, in college for a few years studying music. And I do like to play the piano, but I also like to eat. And so I transferred back to Cincinnati to study electrical engineering. And part of my curriculum brought me all the way to Boston, Massachusetts as a co-op student, where I was helping to design computer chips during the day at a high-tech company. And on evenings and weekends, I got a job in downtown Boston playing the piano at a sidewalk cafe, back when I thought having that mullet would be really cool. Now, not so much. Huh? Let's pray they never come back. Amen? A hearty amen. Thank God. It didn't scare away a pretty girl from Northeast Kansas named Melissa. A farmer's daughter. She was a nanny for 3 young children. And there I was, just minding my own business, playing the piano, and she just plopped down on the bench next to me. That never happened to me. I'm a geeky, nerdy engineer. I didn't know what to say. I was shaking in my boots, just trying to keep my fingers on the right notes. But suddenly, the words just started flowing. We started laughing together. She kept on laughing, probably because she kept on looking at my hair. But you know, it had to be a divine appointment. How else could you get a city slicker from Cincinnati, a country girl from Kansas, in the middle of downtown Boston? That would be God. Our Bible says in Matthew 6:33, if you seek him first, he'll give you everything that you need. That's why no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Seek him first. Don't seek the person, the promotion, the position, whatever it might be. Seek God, and lo and behold, a divine appointment when you least suspect it. Of course, it didn't hurt that Melissa reached into her purse, pulled out a $5 bill, and put in a tip cup you see right there. Ever since then, she said, you know what? That's the best $5 I ever spent. So we quickly fell in love over an ice cream sundae. I thought, you know, I better marry this girl. So on a romantic riverboat cruise back in Cincinnati on the Ohio River on New Year's Eve, I popped the question. She said yes right there with a ring on her finger. And 1 year later on New Year's Eve, we married in Cincinnati. And she said, I do, even though I still had that mullet. After 7 long years of college, I finally graduated with 1 degree and 1 job offer. It was from California during a recession, so we thought, well, we better take it. So we packed up our covered wagon and moved west and started our lives together. And we wanted a big family. God blessed us with many children, although none ever came easily. Our first we named McKenna. She was over 2 weeks late, took over 2 long days of tough labor and delivery to get here, followed by a C-section because she was 9 pounds, 11 ounces, 22 inches long, and upside down. After all that, somehow Melissa still said, it's okay, she's worth it. And yes, indeed she is. And McKenna came to me one Saturday morning, and she said, Daddy, can we build that birdhouse? I had the woods, I had the instruction, I just hadn't gotten around to it. And I had a whole list of things I was hoping to get done, and sometimes we feel good about our accomplishments and checking them off our list, you know. And I looked at my list and looked at our daughter and kind of hesitated and said, okay, McKenna, let's build the birdhouse. So I put down my agenda, and I picked up the saw, and we started putting it together. She got out her colors and crayons. She made a little welcome sign right here, and even made little arrows so the birds would know right where to go for the food. But we made a birdhouse. More importantly, we made a memory. Take time to make memories with your loved ones. Put down your agenda. Put down your phone. Maybe even get down on your knee and look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, you know what? Yeah, let's do that right now. Let's have that ice cream sundae, by golly. Or let's go to the hardware store together. Do whatever it might be. Make a memory of some sort every single day. It might just be doing the dishes or the laundry or something. But you can all do something together to cherish each moment. You'll never regret it. Well, when she was about a year old, I had to rush Melissa to the hospital there in California. We had no idea what was happening. They admitted her for emergency surgery and transfusion. Turned out she was pregnant. Apparently, the baby had lodged in one of her tubes and exploded. It was an ectopic rupture. Had I gone to work early that morning, I would have come home to a dead wife. Do you trust God? When suddenly life just slams you in the forehead with a 4x4 and you say, what was that, Lord? My wife almost died. We lost a baby. We believe in life from conception. How are we going to have a large family now? Half of her reproductive organs are completely gone. But we had to believe that there is hope. And through it all, somehow God causes everything to work together for good and not for evil. Whether or not we see it in our lifetime. But we said, Lord, how are you going to bring forth a large family for us like our heart's desire? Well, by the grace of God, within about half a year, we found out we were expecting again. And we moved to Kansas City to be closer to family. We bought our very first home. And a few months later, gave birth to our very first boy, whom we named Zachary. An 8-pound whopper, born completely naturally, no complications. Boy, we were thrilled. Until the next day when the doctors came and said, we believe your son has Down syndrome. And bam, boy, that was like a baseball bat to my gut. And there I was, buckled to my knees, saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this. How do we raise a child with special needs? How do we deal with his autism, his colostomy bag, his cleft palate, teach him sign language to communicate, all these challenges, but all these blessings? Again, so many questions of why. Why me? Well, why not us? Maybe God trusts us enough to raise a special child so he can impact many more around him and around our family. We learned a lot of great things. We also learned, don't ever feed your boy an entire bucket of blueberries. Or he may say to you too, Mom and Dad, do I ever have a diaper for you? I know because I changed that one, which I'll never forget. A couple years later, we gave birth to another little big guy, another 9-pound whopper, another day and a half of tough labor and delivery, another C-section, but another miracle. And we named him Nicholas. And then after our 10th, wedding anniversary. Melissa said, we're going to have another baby. And we were thrilled to have number four on the way. But then 2 weeks later, we miscarried again. Boy, it's devastating when it's part of your heart, part of your flesh, part of you. Perhaps many of you know what that feels like, to lose a child before birth. Maybe you've lost a child after birth or a full-grown child. Perhaps your child is wayward. You don't know where they are, where their faith is. Maybe you've lost a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, a loved one, your whole family through what I've heard called the living death of divorce, how your heart must bleed every day. Maybe you lost your health or your home or your job. We all have losses in life, right? Not one of us is exempt. There's thousands of ways to get hurt. There's only one way to be healed, through Jesus. And rather than turn our back on God, thank God we were learning to turn our face to God and to run to Him. Rather than shake our fist at God in bitterness over what was taken, we learned to open our hands to God in thankfulness over what was given. And so we just sort of threw up our hands and said, Lord, what do you want from us? We just want a big family. Why is it so tough? Well, we didn't receive a text or a fax or an email, but we have God's Word, right? He speaks to us through His Word. We have His Holy Spirit as well, who speaks to us through our hearts with unctions and promptings. And we just sort of had a prompting, adopt. And so we just went for it. We went to an innocent informational meeting there in Kansas City at an adoption agency. With these tears rolling down our cheeks, we said, this is for us. Long story short, 11 months later, we're on a 747 airplane flying from San Francisco all the way to Beijing, China. We heard about a little orphan girl that nobody else wanted, all because she wasn't perfect, all because of a heart defect. We thought, well, we have a special needs boy. Let's go get a special needs girl. She's perfect for us. So I'll never forget coming back to the Kansas City airport and crossing a jetway to greet the rest of our family and holding in our arms this beautiful bundle of joy. We thought, oh, how can nobody want her? She is perfect. She's beautiful. She's spicy. And yet there's 143 million orphans at least on this planet right now. And it's up to us as a body of Christ to care for them in some way. We thought, well, we got to start with just one. And so right away, she was just part of our family, just one of the gang. Of course, we could never quite make all four smile at once. You know how it can be sometimes? You get out the cookies, the toys, you try to sing a song. It doesn't always work, does it? Life is not perfect, but life is precious. We learn by having two special needs children how life is sacred. And I implore each of you parents and grandparents, love your children with all you've got. Don't let a day go by without letting them know how much you love them. Tell them you love them. Use the words Jesus did. He said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. Right? He demonstrated fully on the cross, and He used the words, how much more should we? I realize some days we can all get on each other's last nerves. Sometimes as parents, it's all you can do to tuck everybody in bed at night in one piece. But for me, I like to just get down on my knees and let all that tough stuff roll off my back and just thank God for another day. Every day is truly a gift. This time right now, right here, is precious. Yesterday is gone. We aren't guaranteed the next 5 seconds. Right now is the only moment we truly have. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. Right? Life confounds us. It doesn't make sense, but don't let your faith give in or give out. Don't give up. Others make us suffer, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through these stepstones of faith in life, God can stretch our faith one step at a time. We began learning it through miscarriages and Down syndrome and the adoption process and all these things, and we each have those choices. As Noah built the ark one day at a time and fortified the ark, one day at a time we build and fortify our faith so that when the rains come and a storm hits, your faith is ready. That's why don't give up. Let your faith grow through it all. Thanks be to God, by His grace, our faith was growing because life changed more than I ever could have imagined just over 12 years ago.
flash floods in Kansas Saturday night. Four young children were killed in one car.
The rising waters trapped the family's minivan against a highway barrier until it broke, plunging the vehicle into a creek three stories below.
Robert Rogers, who 2 weeks ago lost his wife and all four of his small children in a raging flash flood across Kansas Highway.
Have you asked yourself again and again, why was I left here? Why was I spared?
Well, I believe it was nothing short of a miracle. God is not a taker of life. God loved the world so much that he gave. I believe he chose to spare me so that I might be a beacon of hope, a banner for families, so that we might reach others through this experience and help them to cherish their children and families.
Hug and kiss them every day, every morning and every evening. Tell them over and over how much you love them. Snuggle with them at bedtime. Place your hand on their heads and bless them every day as I did.
No hug is unimportant. A very moving soliloquy yesterday from a father who has lost so much.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because Jesus lives. Do you believe that? Deep down here, not simply a beautiful hymn, but truly the essence of our faith. That even if your whole world is washed away, you still have a life worth living because it's built on the rock of Jesus Christ. I could not be here before you today and even stand uprightly if it weren't for him, if it weren't for my faith. My faith didn't just take away or evaporate the pain. It still hurts. I still grieve. I still look up at the stars at night and whisper their names. Even last night, crystal clear, beautiful night, and the moon came out. You never get over it, right? But day by day, you get through it by the grace of Almighty God. My faith that was there that night when they came to me at a hospital in Emporia, Kansas, after they'd taken me there by ambulance. In the middle of the night, the officer and the chaplain with their hats on their chest came to my room. He said, Robert, we found your minivan. It was a mile and a half from the freeway, upside down. They said, your three youngest children were still in their car seats, and they are dead. And we need to ask you to identify their bodies. What do you do? It's every parent's worst nightmare. And all my blood just went to my toes. They led me down this long hallway and turned left into the emergency room and pulled back the drape. And there before me was Zachary, just 5 years old. Nicholas, 3 years old. Alina, still 1 year old from China. We only had her for 8 short months. Never got to celebrate a birthday or Christmas. And all I could do was collapse over each one of their bodies and stroke their wet hair and cry and groan and wail from my gut like I was going to throw up again. And somehow, I don't know, but by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, with one hand on their chest, I just raised my other hand up to heaven. I said, Lord, into your hands I commend their spirits. I knew I had to surrender. Those very words of Jesus on the cross, I surrender my spirit. We all have to, right? How many times have we sung, Jesus loves me, this I know. Little ones to him belong. They don't belong to us. Then he came to me a few hours later and said, we found McKenna. She had apparently caught on this barbed wire fence just a short distance from her minivan. And I had to go down that long hallway and identify Daddy's first little girl. We just celebrated her 8th birthday only 2 weeks before. And then for 3 long days, We held out hope that somehow they would find Melissa alive. And they finally found her. She was 2 miles from the freeway in this retention pond that had tripled in size. I had to identify her as well. My wife of nearly 12 years, what do you do? Where do you run? What holds you up when the bottom falls out in your life? Thank God we had learned to run to him. Not to be bitter, but to be better through it all. And run to Scripture. And one of the chaplains shared this with me when they first gave me the news. I'd read it many times, but this time I really got it. From Isaiah 57. The righteous pass away. The godly often die before their time. And no one seems to understand. I mean, we all have that question, right? Even Jesus on the cross. My God, why? Well, God is protecting them from the evil to come. For the godly who die will rest in peace. That gave me such comfort. I had no idea what may have happened, perhaps, but I knew that somehow God's sovereign hand was upon us, even that night, even in the darkest of times, that somehow his fingerprints were upon our life through every step of the way, and that he was going to somehow cause all this to work together for good and not evil, whether or not we ever got to see it, this side of heaven. Sounds simple, right? It's not easy, but it's simple to trust God and his sovereignty. And trusted he would work things together for good. And he did right away. People who heard the news and contacted me later and said, Robert, it's changed my faith. It's drawn me closer to Christ. And would you believe somehow in the wreckage of our minivan, they uncovered our camera we had used that night at the wedding and reception. You can see the candles and things behind us. It's a miracle they even found our camera. Another miracle, they were able to develop the roll of film in the camera. But the biggest miracle of all, is that all four of our children are actually looking at the camera at once and smiling. That virtually never happens, right? And I have that picture on a blue bookmark I'd love to share with each one of you afterwards, just so you can see a miracle and perhaps share it with someone who needs some hope. There should be plenty on the table as well. Just grab whatever you would like. For a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Yes, indeed, we can all resonate with that. These have come. And why? Why do they have to come? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, so that your faith, which is of a greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, so that your faith may be proved genuine. God wants to refine your faith, to prove your faith, not to move your faith away from him like many people who have lost loved ones have lost their faith. But rather to refine and prove it and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God wants to reveal himself through your suffering, through your tragedy, so that his glory and praise can resound and then draw more unto him. That can be a tough one. Yes, it's called redemptive suffering, but through our suffering that more good might come. God just says, trust me. Trust me in your times of trouble. And I'll do two things. I love this. Number one, he says, I will rescue you. I will. Some way, somehow, I'll rescue you. He rescued my family that night. They got to go to heaven. Who's more blessed? Better is one day in its course than 1,000 anywhere else. I felt like we were all going together. I was tumbling. I was drowning. I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe. I was ingesting the floodwaters. It felt like even his hand was there lifting us up. It felt very peaceful, strangely enough. If you've had a near-death experience, you can probably relate. But somehow I was washed ashore. I don't know how. But by the grace of God, by divine appointment, here we are in Bronson, Michigan this Sunday morning in April 2016. I will rescue you. May not be your way, may not be your timing, but it'll be God's way and it'll be good. His ways are much higher than our ways. That's number one. And number two, he says, and you will give me glory. There's that word again, glory. Wait a minute. Lord, have you seen my life lately? My life's a wreck. How are you going to bring glory through this mess? Well, you know, out of your mess, God can bring forth a message. Out of your story, God can bring great glory. Out of every great test can come a great testimony. All depends how we respond. Life is about 10% what happens to you, about 90% how we respond to what happens to you. And that's what I did my best to do, was to respond in faith as people started inviting me to come and just share my story. And I didn't ask for this. I never sought this or anything. This has always been my least comfortable spot, behind a microphone. But people just say, could he come to our pancake breakfast, to our church, to our community? I'm the shy introvert. I never want to be in front of people. But God often uses our weakness to display his strength. And I just opened my heart and opened the scriptures, and God did the rest and started changing people's lives. I traveled around the world to here in Russia and there in India after the tsunami when many lost their loved ones in turbulent waters, much like mine. I also went to Haiti and just started ministering to orphans as best I can. If I can offer one word that's helped me heal the most these past 12 years, it's this one word: serve. Sounds rather backwards, doesn't it? Boy, when I'm in pain, I want others to pour into me, but as you empty your life and pour into others, God will fill you up. You're going to reap what you sow. It's in giving that you receive. And what I found is as you look into the eyes of those you serve and you see their heart, it'll help change your heart. It'll help transform and heal your heart. And so through my passion for orphans, I began this foundation I call the Mighty in the Land Foundation, with a big vision to sponsor and begin at least 5 orphanages worldwide and honor of our 5 Heavenly Family members. And one by one, God's been bringing it to pass. And in 2006, we dedicated the first one in Russia and called it the Melissa Home. Then in Rwanda, Africa, the McKenna Home. In India, the Zachary Village. In Uganda, the Nicholas Home. In downtown Beijing, China, Alina's Home. Back in Uganda, Hope Village. And now in Haiti, Joy Village. And since we began this foundation, we've given or granted over $407,000 to help care for orphans and special needs children worldwide, including here in the United States as well. Now, I can understand a lot of numbers, but I can't understand that number. It's way beyond me. Has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with God. Look what God can do. Through the pain you've been through, offer it like the loaves and fishes. Offer it like the dear woman with the alabaster jar, broken pieces. Say, Lord, it's not much. It's all I have. But what I have, I give to you. Take it and use it above and beyond. And he will. He'll multiply it. He'll bless others. He'll bring glory to him, and he'll bless your socks off in the process. Look what God can do. What an honor to be a part of our lives. I've also been very honored to have partnered with Focus on the Family as I literally scraped out the walls of my heart and put them on the pages of his book called Into the Deep. Into the Deep, one man's story of how tragedy took his family but could not take his faith. I may have lost my family, but I didn't lose my faith, my joy, my hope, and this book tells how. A lot of people said, Robert, I read it in 2 and 3 hours. I couldn't put it down. It's helped change the way I live my life. And do you know why? Not because of me, but because of him. And because I filled this book with this book. It's full of scripture. And that's truly what will change your life. And if you need one of these, you just thought of somebody who couldn't be here today. Hopefully I brought enough back there. But here's my pledge to you. If you need it and you can't afford it, you go ahead and take it. Okay? If you need it, you can have it. I mean that sincerely. I realize it's April, but Merry Christmas, okay? If you only have a dollar, fine. If you'd like to mail me something later, fine. I trust you. I trust God. And these all belong to him. And I would rather these seeds be planted in your life than go back to Fort Wayne in a box with me. So please take what you need or give whatever you feel led. There's also a Spanish version there if that's helpful to anyone. And after my family passed away, I said into the camera these words. I said, I have no regrets. Not because we lived a perfect life by any means, but because I hugged my family that day. I told them I loved them. Our hearts were clear. And so many people said, Robert, how'd you come to live this life of no regrets? And so just through their questions, it prompted me to put down some more words in a book I call 7 Steps to No Regrets. Just 7 key principles of living a life of no regrets with God and with one another. It's full of scriptures. It's full of stories of all God has done since the flood that'll help you and challenge your walk with him. Then again, just through people asking, they said, Robert, how did you get through it? How do you get through adversity and all? And so I just released a book I entitled Rise Above, How to Heal the Hurts and Overcome the Worst. Because when you're the one going through it, it's the worst. Every loss is uniquely devastating. And so this is a thin book, only about 100 pages, full of over 100 scriptures, and just what has helped me to get through it. I pray will be a blessing to you. Again, take what you need or give it whatever you feel led. There's also a video of my story back there, if that's helpful, and an audio version. There's some music CDs of me trying to sing here and a few piano CDs as well, just piano instrumental. Take what you need and give whatever you feel led, because I do this full time. And why? really why revisit the pain of the past over and over again. I have degrees in engineering and business. I could easily just have a high-paying, high-tech job and do something a lot less difficult. Well, for one, Pastor Jim invited me. And these past 12 years, over 1,000 some places have invited me to come and share. And I've just said, okay, I'll come. My testimonies cost me everything. I charge nothing. I come in complete faith. God has chosen, for whatever reason, to intersect the pain of my past with the cross of Christ, to help draw your hearts unto him, to help draw parents and children back to one another by challenging you to live this life of no regrets, starting today, starting right now. And I would ask, could you please help me? I need your help. Could you please, oh, for one thing, if you'd like to grab one of these bookmarks or even a brochure, just spread the word. Maybe you thought of another church or city or community that could benefit from the story of hope. Maybe they've been through a tragedy. I come freely all across the country, from Maine down to Texas and California. I'll do my best to come, but just pass it along so that others can encounter Christ through our family story. But most importantly, could you pray? We all need prayer, don't we? Many of you already prayed for me, and I thank you. Could you pray just one time a month? What's your birthday? Just pray on that day every month, just 12 times a year, a simple way to remember it. If you care, just to jot down your name, there's a sign-up sheet back there just to commit to pray, and take as for free as my gift to you, one of these green wristbands. It has my motto on it, "No God, no regrets." It's a reminder to pray, but it's really for you. A reminder to know God more every single day and to live this life of no regrets. It's a reminder of no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. It's a reminder that if your child comes to you and says, "Mommy or Daddy, can we build that birdhouse or do that thing we've been putting off for so long?" that you do get down on your knees and say, "You know what? Yeah, let's do that right now." Because this picture was taken July 12th, 2003. 7 weeks later, McKenna was dead. And I thank God that a guy like me just happened to make a no-regrets decision that Saturday morning and build a birdhouse with her. I still have that birdhouse. I still cherish that memory in my heart by the grace of Almighty God. There is hope. I've gone all this time. I've not had any depression, no nervous breakdowns. I've never done drugs my entire life, no drunkenness or promiscuity or internet garbage. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God, because humanly speaking, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Now, I did go through 3 years of professional grief counseling. I highly recommend that. I also ate lots of ice cream and peanut butter. I highly recommend that too. Chocolate therapy is a very happy place for me. But most of all, I stayed immersed in God's word. For even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Even when it's pitch black, God has light that will come bursting in. There is hope. For Lord, you've allowed me to suffer a lot of tough stuff, a lot of hardship. I'm sure we could all agree. Yes, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. Isn't that good news? That's what the resurrection's all about. If God lifted his own son up and he lives within you, he wants to lift you up to give him much praise and honor and glory. He's done it all through time, all through scripture. He did it for Job in the Old Testament. Remember, he had everything and he lost everything. His health, his business, all 10 children. But by the end of the book of Job, God restored him double of everything, including 10 more children, 7 boys, 3 girls, just like before. In fact, the Bible says that from Job's experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good. Don't you love that? Don't you love a good book or a good story with a happy ending? I do. God is a God of happy endings, heaven ultimately, right? But even the seasons and chapters of life on this planet, they can have good endings if you trust him. There is hope. Can I prove it to you? Look at this next picture. Almost 10 years ago, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a beautiful girl said to a guy like me, "I do." Her name is Inga. She's not from Sweden. She's from Indiana. So now I'm a Hoosier. And thereafter, God blesses the beautiful son, whom we named Ezekiel. And then God blesses with a gorgeous daughter, whom we named Estella. And after a very traumatic miscarriage, a little stillborn baby boy, about 5 inches long and 5 months long, we had to bury him. Then God blesses with a marvelous son, whom we named Leo. And would you believe another time, God blesses with a beautiful daughter, who we named Lola Elizabeth. Behold the hand of Almighty God. Is anything impossible with God? Nothing's impossible with God. 12 years ago, my beautiful wife and 2 mighty sons and 2 lovely daughters died in that flash flood in Kansas. Now somehow God has graced me with a beautiful wife and 2 mighty sons and 2 lovely daughters. How is that possible? But by the grace of Almighty God. Is it no wonder my knees hit the floor every single morning? I assure you they do. Because I don't deserve them. I'm nothing. I'm just dust. But because I know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, He calls me son. Look how much He loves me. Look how much He loves you. He gave His only Son that you might have life, that you might know Him. I love my family beyond what words can express. I cannot wait to get back in the car and zip back home and just enjoy the rest of the day with them and squeeze the cheese out of them. Our children are 8, 7, 5, and 4, so we have a very loud and active household. But we homeschool them. We spend much time together as best we can, and we just cherish every moment. And by the way, we can't get them to look at the camera once and smile either. Well, let me wrap it up with one last image of God's amazing attention to detail in our lives, because God really is in these details of life. After my family died, I had to bury all 5 of them at once. There's hardly any words to even begin to describe it. But there at the cemetery, I had these balloons, and I just felt compelled to release the balloons one at a time as an act of surrender. I still release balloons to this day on anniversaries and all. It helps me. But I vividly remember holding a string of each balloon, not quite wanting to let it pluck out of my fingers, but one by one, they rose up to heaven. It was a blue sky kind of day, just like today, and it was beautiful and yet awful all at once. But we came back to my empty, hollow home. I lived there for nearly 3 years by myself. It took a long time to go through all their belongings and everything. But we wandered into the laundry room, and on the wall was this calendar that my daughter McKenna had made as a school project. And a year before is when she made it. But it was still in August, but now it was Saturday, September 6th, right here, the day of the funeral. And so we flipped it up, and our jaws hit the floor. Because there's McKenna going to heaven. She never drew herself in any month but this one. She's holding balloons. I just released balloons at the cemetery. She's holding 6 balloons. 6 people died that night of the flood. There's a woman driving the bus. Melissa was driving her van that night when we hit the floodwaters. There's 2 boys and a girl still in their car seats. Our 2 sons and youngest daughter were still in their car seats when they found our van that night. If you notice, I'm nowhere in the picture. It's just the 5 of them. And off to the right is a stoplight she colored red, as if that's the end. Well, if that's not enough, remember that last roll of film they miraculously uncovered from the wreckage of a minivan developed? They also came out with this picture that we'd snapped after the bride and groom had left the reception. And our kids were playing with all their balloons, and lo and behold, there's McKenna in virtually the same exact pose as she drew a year before. This had taken hours before they went to heaven. But look, her arms are up to heaven, balloons in each hand. She's got a big smile on her face. Her feet are off the ground. And you see what's right behind her? There's that stoplight. Just like in her picture. You put these 2 next to each other, and friends, this is no coincidence. This is a God incident. This is real. God is real. This book, it's real. You can live your life by it. It's not just a bunch of stories, but read it every day. You can see mine's kind of falling apart already. But if you have a Bible that's fallen apart, it'll lead to a life that's not falling apart. Heaven is real, and hell is real, and you will spend eternity in one of those 2 places. That's the main reason I'm here today, is to make sure we don't miss it, to make sure we don't hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you," but that we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know him? Are you one with him?" Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock," right? "If anyone opens the door, I'll come in." Who do you say that he is? Like Peter? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what matters most. I'd like to share one last song with you that's very near to my heart. One that I composed for my daughter McKenna, because I had a lot of questions, you know. Lord, why? Why did I live and they died? I'm their protector. I'm their provider. But I was so comforted when I realized their last breath on earth was followed immediately by their first breath in heaven. You taught me what it's like to be a daddy, to be see invincible in your eyes. You taught me what it's like to be the king of our castle and whisk my little princess away. But what was it like to break the bonds of death into life? And what was it like to breathe in your last breath and not die? What was it like to pierce the earthly veil to heaven? Can you teach me somehow what is heaven like? You taught me what it's like to be your hero, to feel your whole hand wrapped around my finger. You taught me what it's like to kiss my princess goodnight. But when the rain came, I couldn't save your life. McKenna, what was it like to break the bonds of death into life? And what was it like to breathe in your last breath and still not die? What was it like to pierce the earthly veil to heaven? Can you teach me somehow what is heaven like? Like to walk through heaven's door? And what is it like to dance on streets of gold? And what is it like to savor heaven's ice cream? What is it like to hold Jesus and just gaze in his eyes? What was it like to pierce the earthly veil to heaven? Can you teach me somehow? Can you show me somehow? Darling, teach me somehow what is heaven like? Change an instant. We just don't know, do we? I'm so thankful for that beautiful message I left on my cell phone just 2 weeks before the flood. I just happened to save it. I love especially what they said. Did you notice? They never said goodbye. They just said, "Good night, Daddy. I love you." And that's a truth. Because when we're in Christ, there is no goodbye. It's just good night. Yes, weeping endures for the night. We cry a lot of tears. But joy comes. Joy comes in the morning. Because God is faithful. He says, I will be faithful to you. And you will finally know me as Lord. Do you know him as Lord? Is he Lord over every corner and crevice and part of your life? Today is a day of salvation. Yesterday is gone. Right now is the only moment we truly have. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this blessed, sweet time together as we've worshiped, supped on your word, and seen your mighty hand in so many ways, Lord. Lord, right now we surrender. We surrender our hearts, our wills, our lives to you, and ask, Lord, that you would redeem all. Redeem all that was lost. Redeem all the choices we might regret. Redeem all the, even the bad things we've done, Lord. We invite you into our hearts, Lord God, and say, please, fill me. Take me over. I give you my life, Lord. I surrender my heart, my will, my life to you. Be Lord now and forevermore. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. From this day forward, I live my life for you. Lord, help each one of us to put first things first. For as we ponder death, as we did this morning and recently with the death of Margie at age 97, and now with a phone call this morning a pastor received, pondering death helps us put life in proper perspective. So, Lord, help us to make those changes and adjustments that we must, to cherish our loved ones and to redeem this time. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart to commit your life fully to him, to perhaps recommit it, or to make some adjustments in your life right now that he's convicted you, we welcome you to come even forward to the altar. You can kneel, you can pray with Pastor Jim, but do what you need to be done right now, or do within us what you will, so that we can live our lives for you. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you. he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to this world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Yes, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Take just a few minutes as we finish this morning. Thank you, Robert, for your courage, your convictions. I think all of you have been given a gift. What you do with that gift is up to you. God has spoken to you this morning. Maybe you've got an assignment, someone you need to talk to ask forgiveness or to express love. If it seems like it's too late, maybe you've lost someone and you didn't get a chance to do that. God knows that. You bring that to the Lord. Maybe write a letter, take it out to the cemetery and read it. Just tell that person what they really meant to you. I want to give you an opportunity, if you would, this morning to meet Robert. He'll be out in the lobby here. It's 11 o'clock. We'll have coffee next door, time for refreshments. Probably in about a half hour, I'm going to kind of regroup next door here with Robert and the mic, and there'll be an opportunity for question and answer. Take a few more minutes with him, if we could, just to share some more specifics about how to handle struggles, grief, difficulties, challenges, loss, things that he's learned that perhaps we could glean from him. So God bless you this morning. If you need prayer, would like to pray, feel free to come on down as we close. Robert, thank you so much for your ministry today. May the Lord continue to bless you.